power. Hour. LSU. Boom!
All night long. Yes.
Let's freaking go! Tournament time is here, and I am so freaking excited to chat about LSU's draw in the NCAA tournament. And there are so many of you that want to ask this question right now. Why on earth is LSU a 3 seed? Why is that the case? Why on earth did the Tigers not get something better than that? We'll talk about that coming up. Brian Kelly, of course, gets it done again on the recruiting trail. Another top 100 offensive lineman that is not in the state of Louisiana. We'll discuss that at length. I can't believe he's done it again with Tyler Miller. So we're going to get into all of that today. I understand 2025 recruiting doesn't excite a whole lot of you. Spring football, of course, will kick back into gear after LSU is on spring break. There is all of that. But I do want to start with Kim Mulkey. Is this the Angel Reese repeat year? Obviously, LSU brought in probably the best transfer portal class we have ever seen in women's college basketball with, obviously, you get Anissa Morrow in, you get Haley Van Lith in. It's not been the absolute most perfect year for LSU. And to a shock to many, a lot of people felt that LSU should have been a 5 seed. And by the way, we're going to talk some LSU, Mississippi State as well, baseball-related things. And before I continue with the LSU women's basketball thing, I did get to hang out with the former number 18 this weekend in Trent, Louisiana. We'll talk about that coming up, okay? I think it's going to be really hard for LSU to repeat, okay? So we'll take a look at their bracket. Type Y for yes, type N for no if you can hear me loud and clear. For some reason on Sundays, we have been having crazy Wi-Fi microphone issues. We just want to make sure everyone could hear perfect, crisp audio, okay? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page, okay? So this is the draw for the LSU women's basketball team to repeat in the NCAA tournament, okay? We'll even blow it up even larger for us watching on YouTube. If you're listening to this via audio stream, we will definitely break it down for you, okay? So for me, when I take a look at this bracket, a few things really do concern me. Obviously, I like the fact that LSU and Iowa are in the same bracket. These two teams deserve to play each other again. And if you wait until the Final Four, obviously that lowers the chances that you actually do play the rematch. But you go down this list here, West Virginia, Princeton, Colorado, Drake. I don't really care about any of these teams. But you scroll down here, and this is where things get a little tricky, okay? So UCLA, obviously a really good 2 seed. They're 25-6 on the season. You can argue that the Pac-12 was the best conference in college hoops this season. Stanford, USC, and UCLA, definitely a good top 3. You can obviously take a look at LSU, South Carolina, and Tennessee, or whichever team you want to put as number 3. Ole Miss is definitely a pretty strong number 3 as well when it comes to conference power rankings and all of that. But for those that don't remember, all right, we have a superstar from the city of Baltimore named Angel, okay? Well, she wasn't the first women's basketball player from Baltimore whose name was Angel. There was Angel McCautry, and I think they know each other pretty well, actually. And Angel McCautry, back in 2009, she ended up being a WNBA legend. She came to Baton Rouge and beat us. It was a 6-3 matchup, or it was like a 7-2 matchup, but it's essentially the same thing. Louisville is a proud basketball program. Men's team is absolute trash, but their women's team has been solid over the years. Not spectacular, but pretty solid. That's going to be a dogfight. Obviously, I think LSU takes care of Rice. You know, a few years ago, they struggled with Jackson State out the gates. I don't think that's going to happen anymore under Kim Mulkey. I do think it'll be LSU versus Louisville. Louisville, obviously, they put that there for a reason. You have the Haley Van Lith rematch there. That'll be the Haley Van Lith game. So that's never great, right? You have a team that is an underdog. All the pressure will be on LSU, and it is a 3-6 matchup, okay? And it's going to be a motivated 16. Now, I know what a lot of you are going to say. Well, Carter, every team is motivated at this point. You can't tell me that Haley Van Lith being on LSU, going to the better program, does not motivate Louisville out the wazoo to come into Baton Rouge and beat her, okay? So that obviously stinks. And then you scroll up to this bracket, and once again, you have two teams here that really scare you, all right? Colorado, the 5 seed, because they've already whipped you, and they did thoroughly dominate us in the season opener. And you got to remember, that was when we still had Smith, when she was fully healthy, and she's obviously someone that we are missing dearly. And you obviously have Iowa with Caitlin Clark. And honestly, Iowa doesn't scare me as much as a Colorado does for a few reasons, okay? The first is, you know, Iowa is, and once again, I'm not the women's basketball expert. I am wearing my Final Four shirt. I will never, ever forget my weekend in Dallas getting to go to the Final Four. Colorado's very experienced. They're very thorough. You know, you got to – that game wasn't close. I mean, you got to think, in any of our other losses this year, whether it was Auburn, whether it was to South Carolina twice, we never got blown off the court, right? They handled us. They are very athletic. They're very explosive. Obviously, Iowa is the better team, but Iowa is kind of a one-person team, and we just match up really well with Iowa, right? We've got the athletic guards that would give Caitlin Clark a lot of issues. So, you know, it's still a tough matchup. And at this point, I think this was a rough draw. We'll take a look at the poll question here. 50% of you says, meh, it's what I expected. 38% of you say, got screwed. All right. This is the follow-up question that I think a lot of you are going to ask about this. Should LSU have gotten a 2 seed or a better seed? I'm not. I can't break that down for you, right? I'm always of the ilk. I hate it when analysts try and break things down that they really don't know a whole lot about. I don't know a whole lot about all the other women's basketball teams. I really chatted about the teams I'm semi-familiar with. I couldn't even name a player on Louisville's team. I just know they're going to be very motivated. But what I would tell you is I definitely can't sit here and tell you LSU should have been a 2 seed over UCLA, or LSU should have been a 2 seed over this school or that school. You know, the big debate for the women's side of things is the 1 seed, of course, is that final 1 seed being Texas was a big story going in to the women's tournament. Okay. So, you know, I think a 3 seed is fine. You had some tough losses mixed in there. And honestly, there are a lot of LSU or just a lot of women's basketball programs that every year are in this 5-6 loss range. It kind of gets jumbled up with the 2s and 3s and 4s and all of that. So I don't think it's the most brutal draw. I really don't. I do think this is very winnable for LSU. They are in a tough spot for this reason, okay? Last year, going into the tournament, yeah, they lost that game to Tennessee, but if you remember that game, that was just a kind of a fluky-ish game. They didn't necessarily play bad at the end of that game. They just had – well, they didn't play bad in that game. They just had some poor in-game execution. I got to be real. This team going into the tournament, they crushed Auburn. Auburn made the tournament. They obviously beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss is really good. And they played very competitively versus South Carolina. So they are playing good, right? It's just how good is LSU's good in the women's side of things? And the answer to that is I am not sure if the ceiling of this team is as high as the ceiling of last year's team, just simply because of the depth, right? We'll see what happens here with POA, but that's not here nor there. We'll see. We'll just see what happens. I will also say this before we get into some LSU football recruiting. Don't forget, $20 Super Chat. We send you an autographed card. I tried to get this one out for a $20 Super Chat. I'm kind of shocked. I'll do it again tonight. Christian Fulton, 2019 LSU National Championship member. We'll get this out to the first $20 Super Chat. If we get to a hundo, we'll give out another Jaden Daniels 8x11 poster. Okay. I will say this. We, during this season, as far as a regular season is concerned, did not play up to our potential, but we also didn't get the same breaks like we did last year. We caught a lot of breaks, whether it was in the tournament or injury related. This year, we just did not catch as many breaks. We just didn't. There were injuries, off-court things. It was just a mixture of weird circumstances. I think Kim Mulkey did a great job with this team, knowing what we know about some of the players leaving the team. But we're thin. It's hard to make an NCAA tournament if you're as thin as LSU. You know, if POA doesn't play, you really only have a six-ish trustworthy rotation. Normally you want that number in the eights or nine. So we'll see what happens. I'm still going to back them. I still believe they can make a run. And I am predicting them to play Iowa in the Elite Eight, and we're going to beat Iowa. Okay, now we're going to win the national championship. I don't know. And honestly, with all the breaks that we've had this year, I know no matter what happens in this tournament, a lot of you are going to be disappointed if we don't win the national championship, and that should be the standard at LSU. You know, I would be pleased if we made the Elite Eight. I would be pleased. That means we win two of our games in Baton Rouge, and then we win our Sweet 16 game. Okay? Now, this is where I'm going to need your help, because this is a live show. I am not able to watch the NIT show. I am focused in on you guys tonight. I'm going to need you, yes, you, whoever you are, to keep me informed on LSU in the NIT, okay? I will say this about the NIT. Kind of a tough spot, that tournament, because we got a lot of teams opting out of the NIT, the future of the NIT, okay? With St. John's not playing in the NIT, Ole Miss said, I'm not effing with the NIT. So there you go. Now, we get to where most of you probably want to go here, because, you know, we are football first and foremost. This is a 2025 commitment, a top 100 2025 commitment. Tyler Miller. Okay. So this is redonkulous stuff by Brian Kelly and Brad Davis. And you can make a case that even though it's this early in their tenure, they have already taken our offensive line to a level it's never been before when it comes to recruiting. And I've always said this about brands, okay? Brands do matter, all right? When you think of the football team Iowa, what do you think about? You think about defense and tight ends, okay? There are certain brands at certain schools, and at LSU, it's always been DBs, wide receivers, and just defense in general. Okay, some running backs occasionally, but the two brands that LSU really never had was quarterback and offensive line. Okay, now I've said this a gazillion times. LSU has had great offensive lines. The 2007 LSU offensive line will forever be the most underappreciated unit ever. Okay, with what they sacrificed and how many big games they played in and how many big blocks they made, that unit is a legendary group. But we have never been the out-of-state top 100 offensive line school, okay? And when we've gotten those guys, it's worked out really well. Ethan Posick, Austin Deculus, the list goes on and on, okay? But it was few and far between. And our offensive line classes sometimes weren't the biggest in terms of actual size and in terms of actual volume, all right? This is incredible stuff, what Brian Kelly's been able to do, okay? You saw what they did last year with Cohen Echols, Ethan Callaway, Weston Davis, and so on and so on, okay? You already see what we're doing here, and this was kind of a class that was kind of already locked in with Gary Dellinger, and even though he was a class before, but guys like Emory Jones and Will Campbell. And then, of course, you know, the development of Miles Frazier and so on. Whether it's development, whether it's recruiting, our offensive line play has just gotten so much better. And I understand a Joe Moore Award offensive line was not a part of Brian Kelly's regime. That was 2019 LSU. But every unit was great. And immediately after 2019 LSU left, our unit regressed horribly to where we were relying on Ivy League centers that needed to play hurt for our offensive line to even field a competent group. Okay. So this, what Brian Kelly has done, he brought his offensive line branding over to LSU, where that has not always been our strongest unit. And he's done it again and again and again. And it really is incredible. And it's not just him. It's Brad Davis. It's the whole staff. It's, you know, Mike Dimbrock from the last staff and obviously the current staff with Sloan and whatnot. But this is crazy. Top 100 offensive linemen move the needle. They are the single most valuable asset in high school recruiting. It really is. Okay. You can get skill guys in the portal. All right. So take a look at this class and really appreciate it. Folks, I'm telling you right now, this is what Georgia does every year. This is what their recruiting classes look like. This is what Alabama under Nick Saban, this is what his recruiting classes look like. Okay. And we've had recruiting classes look like this with, you know, can't miss out-of-state five stars, right? You go back to the 09 class of Russell Shepard, number 3 overall player, Craig Lawson, number 9 overall player. We've had elite recruiting classes always at LSU, but it was rare that we had the Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, number 1, number 2, number 3 overall classes, right? We were oftentimes in the top 5, but not quite at their level. Which is fine. You could still win a lot of games and national championships without recruiting at that level. But look at this. 5-star. Can't miss. All-time great prospect in Bryce Underwood. DeCorian Moore will be, when it's all said and done, probably the highest-rated wide receiver we've ever had at LSU. Harlan Berry, 5-star running back. One of the best running back prospects ever in the state of Louisiana. Jabari Antoine, top 100 DB. DBU's being reestablished. Westgate High School, right, which has produced a lot of dudes. Tyler Miller out of Laurel, Mississippi, dipping into Mississippi. Lots of great Mississippi offensive linemen have come to LSU and done really good. Sadiq Charles probably being the last one there. Devin Harper, another top 100-ish offensive lineman out of the state of Louisiana. And folks, we are in the running for quite a few other elite prospects. We had other elite prospects tweeting out their alertness of what we are doing on the recruiting grounds. Okay. And then, of course, Keelan Moses, JD LaFleur, Charles Ross, who was a recent ad this past weekend, Teron Francis, and obviously Brett Bordelon, a legacy whose brother is on the team. This is what Georgia and Alabama do. Y'all, this is a big deal. This is a big, big, big deal that Brian Kelly is doing this. Okay? And look, he's probably not the one doing a lot of like the there's a lot of other people that recruit kids, just give you a little behind the scenes. But he changed it. He has changed this. And I want to hammer this home again. This is not me saying that LSU did not have good offensive lines before this. It's just we have hit another level. And I'm really excited about the future of this program. I really, really, really am. All right? So, we go here, NIT bracket. Okay. LSU versus North Texas in the NIT. Okay, good. Chance says, I love the NIT. It's a springboard for things to come. I've heard different, and here's Charlie, not interested, Turney. I've heard different opinions on how people feel about the NIT. Okay? Because of the portal being the way that it is now. So high school kids sign earlier in basketball than they do in football, okay? But now with the portal being the portal, you do a lot of your recruiting right now, okay, to go get the portal guys. So guys like Mike Woodson is like, well, I'm coaching at Indiana. You think Indiana fans give an F about the NIT? I'm going to go get ready to recruit, okay? Same thing for Ricky P. He said, look, F you guys. I want to get on the road recruiting. Chris Beard, who has won a lot of NCAA tournament games, he wants to get on the road recruiting. So I think it's a little bit different for Mac McMahon. He's not been in a lot of these kind of tournaments. I think it's good experience for him, and I think it's good experience for this team. You know, some would say, well, Carter, you know, this team has guys like Will Baker and Jordan Wright. They're a little bit older. What's going to happen with this Jalen Cook stuff? I like playing in the NIT. I don't care. Like, I'm not saying I don't care about recruiting, but recruiting isn't actual games. Give me as many games as we possibly can. Okay. So apparently North Texas, the Mean Green, really good team, really proud athletic program. Remember those Seth Luttrell football teams? He's now the OC at Oklahoma. But I don't know a whole lot about their basketball team, so you guys need to let me know. But excited for Matt McMahon, excited for him getting this tournament experience because it does look like we're rolling with him again next year. Had a great discussion on his future on a recent live stream, and that's obviously awesome. But give me your thoughts on the NIT matchup versus North Texas. I don't know a whole lot about North Texas basketball. Let me see if I can find an NIT bracket here. Super chats are wide open. Any topic you want to get to, I will happily get to it. Okay, let's see. NIT bracket. Okay, I'll find one. It might still be getting announced. So there you go. Okay. Big shout out. Let me get the photo pulled up here since we're waiting for that bracket to come out. Really enjoyed my time with Jacob Hester last night. Did not think he and I would be at the same event. Really appreciate our convos. Ironically, we talked mostly about EPL soccer because he is an Everton fan and I'm a Liverpool fan. And for those that don't know, that is we're arch rivals. But not here. It was a great conversation. I've been on off the bench, I think once with him, but oftentimes with the guest hosts. So appreciate you, Jacob. I doubt you're watching this, but always good to chat with the number 18s at LSU. Okay. And special shout out to the Baldwins for having me at Squire Creek Country Club. Never really heard of Squire Creek Country Club. I'm not really a golfer per se, but That is one of the most beautiful venues in the state of Louisiana. I was truly blown away. For those that have been there, you could see that it was it's gorgeous. Also, I met a country music legend. It was actually the third ever country artist I've ever listened to, Brooks and Dunn. And we took a photo. I'll show it to you a little bit later. So stick in, okay? I will show you the jacket, LD88, if you drop a $20 super chat. And I'll send you a Christian Fulton autograph ticket. College Chicken Auto. You only get to see the jacket one time. That's it. But yeah, it was a disco. So it was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoy getting to go play music for people. Music is obviously a big part of everyone's happiness. And there you go. All right, LD88 says he's sitting at old school. Okay. It's in the mail. All right. I'll show it to you one more time. Man. Yeah, I did not think I'd meet Kix Brooks. I never thought, like, you know, I've met Jacob a few times, and obviously he's awesome. But I never thought I'd be meeting freaking Kix Brooks of Brooks and Dunn. The key, though, are you more of a Neon Moon guy? Or are you more of a My Maria guy? So there's a jacket for you. Gotta love it. Hal wants to talk some McNeese. I'll do that a little bit later. We'll talk about the Wade Brigade. Some are expecting McNeese as a 14 seed to go on a little run here. A run here. Okay. I love it. Next thing I want to chat about is spring football starts back up. I can't really get behind any like major overarching narrative from spring football because it's not really football. I actually watch a good bit of SEC spring footage. Okay. What I would tell you is I actually watched a pretty high profile recruit, and I won't say who because I want to keep doing my own evaluations, okay? And this recruit is destroying it in spring, okay? Just destroying it. And I was like, okay, cool. Cool. So I went back and rewatched some of his high school games, and there were a lot of issues. There was a lot of concerns when I was actually watching them play high school games. Now, the issue was he was playing on a not-so-great team, and he was playing some really, really, really good teams. And obviously, you change from going from high school to college. But if it's spring football and you're impressed by someone, you've really got to do your due diligence and poke holes into every last little thing, okay? So on the SEC channel, there are two teams I began to cover because they just generate the most views, Arkansas and Tennessee. Those two fan bases really support the SEC channel. Now, Georgia does as well. Texas and Oklahoma actually have as well with some of the Texas and Oklahoma content that I've done. What I found to be very interesting with that, I really, really do believe that you can get carried away with spring highlights because it's going up against air. And you're oftentimes going up against, a player that actually is like probably like a D2 player or a D1 non-Power 5 guy. So I was doing an Arkansas film study, and Arkansas perpetually has had bad offensive lines, okay? You know, some years are okay. They've actually put really good singular offensive linemen into the NFL. But for the most part, They just don't have good lines. So there was a left tackle at Arkansas who was on the second unit, okay? And he was dominating every single rep that he was being a part of. And I was like, wow, he is really standing out. And he should move up to the first unit. But when I started doing a little bit of a deeper dive, I saw that he was going up against the same exact defensive end every single time. Okay? And that is so dumb for a few reasons. All right? Number one, it'll mislead fans thinking that this guy may be good. He might be. But the second thing is you're doing a disservice to both players because, you know, when I played and I did pass rush drills and all that, and once again, I was just a middle-of-the-road high school player, I liked going up against as many different offensive linemen from different shapes and sizes. I didn't want the easiest matchup every time. I didn't want a smaller guy every time. I didn't want a bigger guy every time. I wanted a mixture, okay? Variety is what the slice of life, right? It's why Baskin Robbins is still in existence. And what drove me wild was, how are the coaches not seeing this? Why wouldn't you want him to go up against someone else? Now, he might. It's just like limited practice viewing. But I'd want to give him different matchups as many times as we possibly can so you could see if he's doing something well. So more LSU practice footage will be released this week. We'll do more breakdowns when those footages come out. And it will be our typical pre-recorded, like film-ish kind of videos. And you try and look for those patterns, okay? You really do. Jamie French, Amari Cooper, okay. Where's Amari Cooper from? Was he from Florida or Texas? I'm trying to remember. I thought the Browns getting Jerry Jeudy was interesting. I thought Calvin Ridley getting this much money was very interesting as well. I see a lot of you are talking about Will Wade in the chat. All right. This is what I'm going to do for Will Wade with McNeese. I'm going to cheer for him. Okay. I was fine with LSU parting ways with Scott Woodward. That is a debate that has been raged on this channel for years and on every media board you can think of. Okay. It was a strange situation. Okay. All the way down to wife bank statements. All right. I was perfectly fine with Scott going in a different direction and just wanting to start new. But Will Wade is really good. And what I think a lot of us need to be ready for is Will Wade is going to coach at an actual power program. And that power program might be in the SEC. Okay. There is a lot of things that could happen in a short period of time for Will Wade to get into the SEC. I could see a few things opening up, okay? We'll see. I look at, like, some of the middle-tier programs in the SEC. Does Oklahoma want to continue with Porter Mosier? We'll see, okay? Oklahoma is kind of obviously they're always going to be more of a football than a basketball program, but Blake Griffin, Trey Young, Buddy Hield, Lon Kruger was great. I almost said Freddy Krueger. That would make sense. All right. I don't know. I could see him at Texas. Does Texas, you know, they've got Rodney Terry locked in. Rodney Terry's pretty good. Is there another one? I don't think he would take Georgia or anything like that. I think he would actually want to go to a big program. What if Eric Musselman leaves Arkansas? Okay. could happen. I could see him take one of the openings that are open now. I don't think he takes Vanderbilt. I think Michigan is obviously a team that has a very rich basketball tradition. It's definitely up there as one of the best basketball football programs. But we'll see. Oh, that's good. That's good. I do want to show you this. That's good. Take a look at this. All right. So this via Jacques Doucet. All right. A little pixelated here. This is their reaction to seeing Louisville in LSU's bracket. That's good. Oh, man, I'm so excited for that. Got to avenge those demons. I was actually at that Angel McCautry game back in 2009. That was when you watch one, you're like, okay, that's a WNBA player. That is a true superstar. Is Florida State open? Yeah, Leonard Hamilton was one of the best coaches in the sport. I mean, Florida State was, like, good every year. And Hamilton... he sucked in the NCAA tournament. That was always an issue. And he's just not been good these past couple seasons. I mean, Florida State's just been bad. That would be a pretty strong feature. Will Wade and Florida State's football coach, not Alex Atkins. Why was I thinking their offensive line coach? Because I watched one of his counter lectures earlier today. Come on, Mike Norvell. There you go. Does Will Wade take Louisville? Here's the issue with Will Wade in Louisville, okay? This is a program in Louisville that is strife with sanctions from the Patino era. And obviously those don't linger around anymore. But is that the direction that they would want to go? I don't know. But what I would also say about college basketball, which is very similar in college football, but you can make a case for even more so. College basketball, you kind of have to know where the bodies are buried. Okay? You've got to be willing to fork it over. All right. You've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. Here's my thing with Hal, okay? So obviously Hal makes a good point. So you know, Hal actually was very around the Will Wade saga, right? He was a season ticket holder. He knew people in the Wade camp and all of that. So I trust him when he says that Will Wade's fine in Lake Charles. I would be too. There's not nearly as much pressure to win a McNeese as there is at whichever school he's going to go to. But, you know, the iron is hot right now. Is he going to be able to do what he did at McNeese this year? And McNeese is maxed out this year. I mean, they'll probably never have a year better than this one. You know, like he could probably get, what, a $5 million a year deal? So Hal says it's 50. He says it is 50-50 decision. Damn strong offer. I'll also say this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you March Madness on the men's side is in trouble, because it's not, okay? It makes $1 billion with a B dollars a year, okay? It is such a massive moneymaker, and it is a lot of fun, right? You know, the basketball itself played in March Madness is not really that good, right? These are teams on short notice with really hardly any time to scout, flying across the country, oftentimes playing in NBA arenas or just like random neutral arenas in Greenville or Albany or wherever. It's a different kind of basketball, but because it's the final thing and because it's a final game, and if you lose, the season is over, and we are mystified by the amount of upsets. You know, since 2010, 11 seeds have a better record than 6 seeds. There's a stat for you. And while we're on the subject, we are doing for our patrons a March Madness bracket. Okay? I don't know what the final prize will be, but it will be something. Now, the men's tournament is not in any kind of financial trouble. And you are basically able to watch every game for free on the March Madness app. So it's accessible too. With that said, if women's basketball could fix its officiating problem and have the referees just call a competent game, like what a rational human being would like to see, women's college basketball is really challenging the men's. Now, when Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese leave, it'll be tough. There's other good young players, obviously, Michaela Williams and, you know, more national, you know, Dago at Notre Dame, and then, of course, USC has Watkins. There's a lot of really good young players. But there's a few things that the women's tournament does better. The first thing is they do have more star power simply because they could make more in NIL instead of jumping to the WNBA. The second thing that they have, the opening round games are played on campus. I cannot state how big of a deal that is. And I have no idea why the men's tournament doesn't do it. And I understand why they don't, because, you know, these neutral sites for tourism and all of that, they buy the rights to host the games. But man, Man. I really, really, really hate that the higher seeds don't get the benefit to playing their opening round games on campus. Imagine how much better that would be than what the NCAA tournament currently does. Give the teams that were the best teams in college basketball the right to play on their home courts. And there is also a huge benefit to that if you are a college basketball fan. That makes getting one of the top four seeds that much more important. And could you imagine, in college basketball, I'm giving you free advice. I'm giving you free game. That every Sunday night with Jay Billis and Bill Walton and Myron Metcalf and whoever, Jay Williams, you did your own selection show, your own college football playoff reveal of the top 16 teams every week. College football playoff style. And if you did that, could you imagine how much better the sport of college basketball would be in? Because you would have something that every team is jockeying for, which is being the home court team in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But no, we gotta give the arena in Spokane, Washington some money. Or wherever they play these opening round games. In San Antonio, we gotta have big time college basketball games played in San Antonio. Drives me crazy. Will Wade, these are my viewers. It's a blunt rotation. Go. Apparently LSU softball is in a worm burner. Please do not curse in the chat. Trying not to lose my monetization status. So Florida State for Will Wade is a school. Okay. And get down on it. I thought it was hilarious that Texas A&M's new athletic director goes from Nebraska to Texas A&M. And the opening round game is going to be Nebraska versus Texas A&M for the 8-9 seed. Syracuse for the Wade Brigade. Or, you know, they would never do this. I don't think Jay Wright would do this, would want this to happen. But I think what if Will Wade went to Villanova? So I finally got at least LSU's portion of the NIT bracket. Could someone tell me that the only thing about this bracket that I'm posting right here is it does not have the location of where these games are being played. So you have Seton Hall, St. Joseph's, and I remember when St. Joseph's was good, Jameer Nelson. See, these are the kinds of college basketball programs that need to be good. The ones that don't have a state in their title. Okay, Seton Hall, St. Joseph's, these are the teams I miss in the NCAA tournament. And Princeton went on a long run last year in the NCAA tournament. They'll play UNLV, Providence, Boston College, and LSU North Texas. So LSU will play the winner of this game. So I'm guessing the first round of the NIT is in Baton Rouge. Okay, there we go. Does anyone know when? Okay. So the NIT does something better than the NCAA tournament. Seems like today of all days that everyone decided to unleash your Justin Fields take. And I will say this. And I really, really, really do mean this. I told you a few weeks ago that he is a backup in the NFL. And if you don't believe me, here you go. Power Hour NFL. I want to say a big thank you. 1,000 subscribers. This is the fastest I've ever gotten to 1,000 on any channel. I know how hard it is to get to 1,000, so I don't take it for granted getting it to this really quickly. Thank you guys so much. I really, really do appreciate it. I love the National Football League. I was blown away. I didn't expect this. I thought it was honestly going to take 6 months. But we're there. And now I am able to, and obviously I don't make as much on the ad revenue as I do, you know, via Super Chats on Gear. But of course, if I have videos that go super viral, you can make quite a bit of money. I probably lost a grand somewhere in that vicinity by not having my videos monetized from the jump, and it was because I didn't have 1,000 subscribers. So thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you. The Vodka, I really appreciate you. You've been a big part of me or early in the PHL days. You've been with me for years now. I appreciate you guys to tune in at different times, right? We have Charlie in Philippines that watches. We also have that man Blessed in Turkey who watch Devanka. It's crazy. And this is why, and Sibley points this out, the NCAA owns the NCAA tournament. So they make more money by having it at the neutral sites, and they know the neutral site games will still be packed. But the first round games need to be played on campus. That would be what I would do to fix it. Matthew Broome tweeted that out. But I still don't have the full bracket, the times, or anything like that. But it will be Tuesday night. Okay. There you go. Epic Shorty, it's been a minute. I appreciate all your super chats and support, man. What's up, buddy? Good to see you. LSU softball and a pickle on a Sunday night. Okay. So, Let's put this up. Okay. Put this up right here. Okay. So, let's have a chat about LSU baseball. They go on the road, and it was rough. They lose 2 out of 3. And they got mercy ruled. It's never fun as a national champion, number 2 overall team, 15-5. Okay, 9-8 the game before, and then of course they got destroyed in the first game. Is it concerning they got blown out? Yes. Okay. Are there still some concerns about this team offensively? Yes. All right. I'm not even going to pretend that I'm able to break this down in any type of detail. But I will tell you, following college baseball for so long, this was a road series. I've never been to Mississippi State's ballpark, Dudley Noble, but you can make a case it's the best. It is a very, very, very nice ballpark. They got like apartments and stuff like that. Obviously, give me Alec Box all day, but I'm biased. It's, you know, my home baseball field, right? So it's not that big of a deal because I think getting blown out in football is bad. Basketball, not so much because there's just so many more games. Baseball is always kind of weird though, right? Like I've seen baseball teams, if you would have looked at baseball the same you looked at football and you watch a College World Series last year and you saw what Florida did to us in game 2, you'd be like, oh, game 3, we've got no shot. But baseball is just so weird. It's its own animal, right? Not too worried about losing 2 of 3. So what I need you guys to do, this is your chance. Enlighten me. Let me know if I should be concerned. All right? Let me know. Now, it's hard for me to watch baseball because I am also very busy with DJing and doing other events, play-by-play with college basketball for a good portion of this year. And, you know, I talked about it a little bit earlier. I had the honor of DJing a 50th disco, Anna and Tiffany booked me for it. And obviously I showed you the picture with Jacob Hester earlier. Also had the opportunity to meet Kix Brooks yesterday. I wish I could. There you go right there. Look at that guy. He talked to me for about 10 minutes in the parking lot. That was very fun. Obviously, any musical legend, I'm always down to chat music. And that was an awesome day. So, yeah, I'd love to get Jacob Hester on the channel, though. I should have asked him that while I was there. But it was definitely cool to see him. We'd love to have Kix Brooks on the channel. My Maria, tell you. But I say that because, you know, that's what I was doing. I wasn't able to watch really any pitch of LSU versus Mississippi State this weekend. But let me know, should I be concerned? Louisiana Tech, 6:30 Central, Tuesday night, midweek game. La Tech, always been kind of a weird game. I know we've gone up there and played them a few times, which I've always thought was really cool. I hope LSU rocks the pinstripe uniforms. Now, next weekend, Florida comes to Alec Box. I love how each game's got its own sponsor. Presented by Powerade, presented by Hancock Whitney, presented by Cox. You would think that they would sponsor the South Carolina series. It's elite comedy. It's elite comedy. You wish Bill Burr will never write material that good. Either way, obviously Florida, Coach Sullivan, one of the GOATs. They're going to want revenge. That's probably the series they're most motivated about all year. I'll tell you this, though. We had a few PHLers go to the Dallas Card Show this weekend. Obviously, I'm a big sports memorabilia collector. I wasn't able to go for obvious reasons. But I did see. Now, this is interesting. I watched that Paul Skeens at bat versus Jackson Holliday. So Jackson Holliday's dad, Matt Holliday, played in the MLB, and he was a really good baseball player. And it was like two of the best prospects, and Paul Skeens struck him out. What was very interesting, to me at least, Wyatt Langford looks to be the real deal. Okay, the Texas Rangers outfielder who went to Florida, and we beat him obviously in the College World Series. Wyatt Langford had a baseball card sale for $50,000 this weekend. $50,000. Now, I wasn't able to confirm the sale. It was just, there was actually a controversy behind the sale, but $50,000 for one Wyatt Langford baseball card. He's never even played a game. So, yeah. And that's his best card. It was the best card you could pull of his. It'll be his most coveted card for the rest of his life. So, if he ends up being Mike Trout, who I think is a little overrated, if I'm being honest, he'll still get in the Hall of Fame. But if he ends up being that good, that card becomes, what, I think, I guess, $200,000, $300,000 card. But I don't think the Dylan Cruz or Paul Skeens version of this card has been pulled yet. So I'd be interested to know what that sales at. Next thing I want to bring up, the Savannah Bananas were in Baton Rouge. Let me know if you went. Now, so if one of you live viewers went, let me know. Or if you're watching this down the road, let me know. It's a very different baseball experience. I love it. I love the concept. I don't think it's, you know, hokey dokey, whatever. I would go to a Savannah Bananas baseball game over quite a few, like, just other baseball games. It just looks like a fun experience. But then again, it's pandemonium, right? They are the Beatles now, basically. Let's go to Pierce. Good to see you. Calling Mike Trout overrated in any respect may be an all-time bad take. All right. This is what I'll say about Mike Trout. All right. I look at it from a sports card perspective. Mike Trout's card prices were very similar, and he was viewed in the same light as a LeBron, right? When in reality, when his career is over, he is probably a Dwayne Wade type of player, okay? I just don't know if Mike Trout is, I mean, of this era, how many outfielders are better than him? Well, he's got one on his own team that will be better than him, but he's a mutant. Okay, he doesn't count. But outside of him, you know, Ken Griffey, of course, is on a different planet than Mike Trout, in my opinion, as well. But who else? If Trout is better than pretty much any of the outfielder, not named Ohtani, not named Griffey Jr., then sure, he might be fairly rated. But when I tell you there are so many people in the sports card industry that was pricing him like a King Griffey, and I was like, I don't know. I mean, he's had injuries. He doesn't have many like big moments or anything like that. In terms of talent, yeah, he's definitely a top 10 outfielder to ever play. But like when his career is over, is he going to be better than Stan Musial? Is he going to be better? I don't think it'll be. He'll be close to like Hank Aaron and Willie Mays and those guys. But then again, they're the goats. I just don't think Mike Trout is really close to that tier. But baseball guys, feel free to correct me. Feel free to correct me. But yeah, Mike Trout was kind of the guy when the sports card boom happened a few years ago. And I never quite understood it. And I don't really buy baseball cards. Obviously, I have some Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeen stuff. That's it. That's basically it. I grew up with Derek Jeter being my favorite athlete. I don't have a big Derek Jeter card. So LSU softball loses their first game. That's tough. Really, really, really tough. I'll play tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Central. Obviously, kind of a weird series. With the move games. That's tough. It's really, really, really tough. Whew. All right, LD, appreciate you, man. Your cousins went to the game, Shawty? It's your birthday? There you go. 5-2 was the final score. It was 2-2 in the seventh. Let me see. Ole Miss 18-8 on the season as a softball team. So they're a good team. Well, no, they're 1-3 in conference. I take that back. Well, it kind of goes in line with what I was saying earlier. Softball, you play a lot of games. Not jumping off the Beth Tarina train just yet. Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. But if we do Super Chat, we'll keep it moving. I will say, and I'm not a big I'm not a big Kyrie guy. But that game winner he hit today over Nikola Jokic, the left-handed floater, is definitely one of the best buzzer beater game winners I've seen. Like, that was such a awkward way to shoot that. Like, I don't think I've ever really seen a guard shoot a floater quite like that. I'm sure I have, but not for a buzzer beater over one of the greatest players of all time. That was breathtaking stuff. It really, really, really was. I can't play NBA clips. I'm not even gonna try. Apparently, Tom Crean went on a legendary rant. On NIT, not participating. You should play. Had four errors. Yeah, Coach O's insane. But Pierce might be right about my Mike Trout take a minute ago. And that's okay. I can live with that. Here's one from Jordan. The Tom Green Show or Jackass? That's not close.
You're telling me I can have Tom Green or I can have Steve-O, Bam, Johnny Knoxville.
Give me Jackass all day. That's not close. I'm not even sure if those are really. I guess I need to go back and look at some of the Tom Green clips from back then. I don't know if Jackass could be made today though. I really don't. It's not necessarily because of like. The
content per se.
It's just you can find 1,000 of these on like Instagram. Like yeah. I mean, that's all there is to it. But then again, MTV plays 50 gazillion episodes of ridiculousness every single day. And they have a gazillion writers, and those writers went on strike. I think they still are on strike. And I don't know. I don't know what MTV's plans are right now. But if you were to give me ridiculousness or Jackass.
Give me ridiculousness.
Never.
Jackass is still better.
There are, TRL with Carson Daly was better MTV. Celebrity Deathmatch was better MTV. Make of the Band with Diddy was better TV. There's a lot of better TVs on MTV than Ridiculousness.
But the Catfish show, they show you 23 episodes of Ridiculousness every single day. Those writers deserve to be millionaires.
Wee Man was at the Pels game last night. So was some of my family.
They went to that game.
Boosie, friend of the show, Boosie, was at the Pelicans game. Oh, y'all didn't tell me the third baseman for LSU that had the errors tonight was a true freshman. Y'all leave out that context.
I thought I could trust you guys watching the game while I went live. Thought I could trust you.
But you didn't tell me the third baseman was a true freshman? I didn't really even say anything about her. I didn't get to see the game. I didn't get to see the errors. But she's a true freshman.
That is very important context. Now, a redshirt freshman or a sophomore making a mistake, I ain't live with it.
But anytime there's a big, big, big mistake, you should let the audience know that was a true freshman. Yeah, like I said, I'm not
the same level of expert as you guys, but apparently this third baseman also played some second base. So, I know Taylor Pleasance is a starred shortstop. But,
So, Cortland, what do you think they should do at third base? What do you think?
Let me know.
Borat or Ollie G?
I'll go Borat.
Beavis and Butthead, I get down with it. I get down with some Beavis and Butthead. There you go. Uh-oh. Here we go. This is a team you should not pick. Okay, Sherry Berry's in here. All right, Sherry, tell me what happened in the softball game. I trust your opinion more than anyone else. This is who you should not pick to win it all.
Drake
is jumping on the Houston bandwagon. There he is with billionaire Tillman Fertitta. Okay. Drake is a Kentucky fan, I thought. But here he is with Houston. If you know, you know. Oh, no doubt about it, Charles. I will not disagree that Mike Trout is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I will not disagree with that. But there's levels to the Hall of Fame. There should be like an elite tier Hall of Fame, right? And I don't know if Mike Trout is in that tier. But you know, people talk about him that way. All right, so no changes. So we'll keep it rolling. The original Beavis and Butthead. All right, let's see. If you did not get your question answered, you want to get it in? Oh, this is... This one I forgot. Forgot to put that up there. Jimmy Lindsay has a new job, so I'm glad he landed somewhere. He has... He is a defensive line assistant. Not the D-line coach, defensive line assistant for North Carolina. So congrats. I'm very happy for you, Coach Lindsay. I hate what happened to you. That is unfreaking believably horrible what happened to you. And I wish that I wish you would have gotten the opportunity to coach defensive line at one of the best universities on the planet. So I hate that. Okay. Make sure I didn't miss any. Okay. No other questions. That's a good one. We didn't spend too much time talking about Tyler Miller. I haven't really had the chance to watch him. I have watched Mike at DeBose, and I do think he's good. Out of Mobile. Does Tyler Miller's commitment affect DeBose committing? You know, they're both viewed as IOLs instead of like OT kind of players. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't, Chance. Honestly, though, I don't think offensive line is a position where you can just like wait for someone to take up a slot. That is a position when it comes to high school recruiting, you just need to bring in guys that are ready to commit right now. All right. Especially if it's a top 100 guy. So it's a really good question, Chance. I don't know. I really don't. And honestly, that is a good thing if you are LSU. I know that sounds crazy, but it used to be that, you know, offensive line commits just committed. They weren't fearful of the depth that LSU has accumulated at that position. And LSU had a very strong 2024 offensive line crop with six guys being committed. And let's just say DJ Chester works out and he ends up being like very good. All right. So he, if that's the case, he is starting at least two seasons, more than likely three. Could just be two though, if he's like very good. So then that leaves you with two guard spots. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's really, really, really tough. It's still a really good job by LSU. Now, I am done. No super chance tonight. It's all good, but we did have someone mailing a check. That is LD88. I appreciate you. And guess what? We will be back live Tuesday. Now, I will work around, you know, sports this time of year with the NCAA tournament. LSU and the NIT, you got baseball, softball. I do get requests to work around all the sports schedules. It's hard. It's really, really, really hard. I got a text earlier saying if Cardinal softball got rearranged and I do my best. So if I normally like to stay on schedule and do my normal 8:15 thing, but I do move around in the off season sometimes for things that I have to do. So it's tough. It's tough during this time of season. Well, like during football season, it's a little bit more linear. Okay. LSU men 6 p.m. Baseball is 6:30 Tuesday. I might go earlier than that, you know, post game would kind of make sense, but that would be so much later. So Tuesday night, we will go live at 5 p.m. Central if Hal is correct. Now, that's nothing against Hal, but things might get moved. All right, so just be mindful for Tuesday night's live stream. We will do it, okay? We'll talk to you soon. It's Power Hour LSU. Bam! And tonight, we are doing a shrimp scamp. Let's go. Let's go.